Lord, Lord, you promised. I'll explain on this edition of Key Life.
Hi, that was Steve Brown, and I'm Mike Kellogg. You're listening to Key Life, practical Bible principles for daily living. Now, here with Bible in hand is Steve.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Deuteronomy. I'm going to take the time today to finish out the four major themes in Deuteronomy. And then maybe if I have some, I want to answer some questions at the end of the broadcast today. So I may just do, we'll see how it goes. But if that's all we do today, tomorrow we'll look at some of the verses in Deuteronomy outside of these major themes. Now, if you've been listening, and some of you haven't, and I know your names, if you've been by the way, I appreciate more than I can possibly tell you that you take your time each day to study the Bible with me. I know what a major gift that is. I used to be really busy and people felt sorry for me. But nobody feels sorry for me anymore because everybody is as busy as I am. And as we move into this Christmas thing, I mean, my friends won't even take the time to speak to me. But so that you would take time, 15 minutes out of your day, to study the Bible with me, I consider a high and holy privilege. And I want you to know I take it very seriously. Okay, we've looked at the four major themes, and I mentioned the fourth one yesterday. This is within the book of Deuteronomy, a God who guides and who is involved, a man who cares and who leads, a vision that is past, and we're looking at the fourth major theme, a promise to cherish. We looked at Deuteronomy 7 through 9. Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask the Father, and he will show you, your elders, and they will tell you, when the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of men and he fixed them. By the way, what was the inheritance given to the nations? God's people. So we're here for them. That's their inheritance, the covenant people of God. When he separated the sons of men, he fixed the bounds of the peoples according to the number of the sons of God. For the Lord's portion to his people, Jacob, his allotted heritage. And then over in the New Testament, I read to you from Romans 9, 4 through 5. But let me do that again, because I want you to see something that's really important and really interesting. They, the Jews, are Israelites. And to them belong the sonship, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and of their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, God who is over all, be blessed forever and ever. Amen. Then, if you've got a Bible, and you're a Baptist, because if you're anything other than a Baptist, you won't find it before I read it. It's Romans 11, 25 through 28. Lest you be wise in your own conceits, I want you to understand this mystery, brethren. A hardening has come upon the part of Israel. This is Romans 11, 25 through 28. And so all Israel will be saved. The full number of Gentiles come in. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion, and he will banish ungodliness from Jacob. And this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As regards the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake, but as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. Let me tell you something. I used to be, and I have friends who still hold to this view, I used to be a person who believed that when the new Israel was established, and that is Goyim, that's those of us who have come to know Christ and who have become a part of God's covenant people, that at that point the nation of Israel as a defined entity was no longer a part of God's economy any more than the Italians or the French or the Russians. And then when I was teaching the Old Testament as a younger, much younger pastor, I began to see all these promises regarding Israel. And I thought, Now those people who hold the idea, and remember they're part of the body of Christ, I'm not throwing rocks, very godly Bible believers believe what I used to believe. But as I was reading this, and I was trying to teach it as those promises are to be spiritualized and applied to the church, not to Israel and to present-day Jews, I thought, you know, Lord, seems to me you would have said that. Seems to me you wouldn't have put this that strongly about them if you didn't mean them and not necessarily the new Israel. Seems to me that you generally say what you mean and mean what you say. So I've come to the understanding. I don't know all the details. I'm not a dispensationalist. I don't go that whole route. You know, I'm not into there's going to be a new altar and we're going to have a sacrifice on the altar and for the sins and all that stuff. But I want you to know, I don't believe God has forgotten his ancient people. I just signed this morning a statement that my rabbi friend Yekiel Eckstein, he wanted me to go to Israel in the middle of the mess. And I said, Yekiel, I love you, brother. But do I have dumb written all over my face? I'm not going away. You get killed. But I would have gone if my schedule had allowed it. But I want you to know, I signed the statement that said we're standing with our beloved friends, our Jewish friends in Israel. Why did I do that? Because I believe that God still has a place for his ancient people. That God, because God, when he promises, doesn't ever back off on his promises. And listen to me, if he lied to them, he'll lie to you too. We have every right on the basis of what the Bible teaches about every promise that God gives to God's people to say, Lord, Lord, you promised. My kids do that to me. You know, if you're a father, they're grown now, but when they were little, you know, they'll come along and I'll say, let's go to a movie tonight. And I'll be reading a book or something and won't be paying attention. And I'll say, okay, we'll do that. Then I forget. And then that night, we get ready to do something else, and they will say, Dad, or Daddy, you promised. Well, God doesn't forget the way I forgot. And God, when he gives a promise, really gives a promise. And he thinks about it before he gives it. And so when he promises Israel that he's not going to forget them, when he promises Israel that there is a covenant that isn't going to be shattered all over the places, that he's still got a place. Now, I'm not talking about personal salvation. That's another issue altogether, so don't write me letters. And with Murray, I've got to say there's something here that I don't understand, but God does not forget his promises, and he doesn't forget them to Israel, and he doesn't forget them to you. He's promised you a city. You can count on it. He's promised to forgive you. You're forgiven. You can count on it. He's promised to accept you. You're acceptable. You can count on it. He promised to hear every prayer you ever make. You can count on the fact that he has and does. He promised to be sovereign over your life and that all things would work out for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And so everything that's happening to you right now is from the loving hand of a God who accepts you and offers his grace and will never be angry at you again. I don't know about you. But I can follow a God like that. You think about that. Amen. Well, on tomorrow, on Friday, Pete will be in, and my pastor. Tomorrow, I'm going to just kind of go through some really. We're going to take a journey through the book of Deuteronomy. I'm going to show you out some. I'm going to show you some of the major sites as the tour director. So don't miss tomorrow. Right now, I want to turn to some of these questions. By the way, if you haven't checked out our website recently, shame on you. It's www.keylife.org. And if you go there, you can hear what I'm talking about right now, today's broadcast. You can hear the previous 30 broadcasts. You can get all kinds of materials and links, biblical helps. You can get the devotional think spot for every day. In fact, you can probably, if you go to the website often, become a spiritual giant, as I am a spiritual giant. I am, after all, the teacher of God's truth on this. If you believe that stuff, man, you'll believe anything. But I want you to know, I do love the Bible, and we've got such good stuff. It's www.keylife.org. Let me see. And whenever you write or call, give us the call letters of these stations. We love to get your questions, but don't use the 1-800 number for that. You can get Christmas meditations, become a part of the Key Life Tate family, all free, or you can make contribution, but you got to write your questions down, and we'd love to get them. Let me get to some of these questions before I run out of time. This is from Michigan. Will believers and non-believers give account for every word, thought, and deed in their lives? If so, when will this happen, and how can God humiliate us like that? How could we give an account if our sins are forgotten once they're forgiven? That's a good question. And you would be absolutely blown away with how often we get that question. You know something that's happened to me as I've gotten older? And I'm not there. I don't want you to think, I don't want this to sound too pietistic, but let me tell you something, and this is for real. I'm not preaching. I'm telling you the truth. I don't care what you think. I do some, but I don't much. And the older I get, the more I don't mind telling you about my sin. You know why? Because God loves me and He's forgiven me and He gets the praise for doing that, even though you know the truth about me. When John said, He must increase, talking about Jesus, and I must decrease, we preach that like that's some kind of miserable bad news and you better kill yourself off and make yourself awful and terrible so Jesus can shine through, or be very, very obedient so Jesus can shine through. And man, that scares people to death. That's not what John was saying. He was saying, and he's a good friend of mine, so I know what he means. John was saying, isn't it great? You're going to see Jesus, and I'm not that important, and he loves me. But he's going to increase, and I'm going to decrease, and that's cool, and that's good, and that's a subject for great rejoicing. So the older I get, the more I don't care. I'm still not there. I'm not going to give you any kind of detailed confession. But I really don't. Let me tell you something. When you get home, you're going to find out about Billy Graham's sins and the Pope's sins. You're going to find about Chuck Swindoll's sins. You're going to find out about John MacArthur's sins. And all your heroes, you're going to find out about their sins. And they're going to be so busy blushing and they're not even going to notice you. And you know what's going to happen? If it's the way you described it, and I don't think it is, there's not going to be any condemnation. If it's the way you describe it, we're going to have a dance. And we're going to say, doesn't he shine? Isn't he great? Isn't he something else? And after all, dear friend, that really is what this thing is all about. Hey, I got to go. Out of time. Whenever you write or call, give us the call letters of this great station. And oh yes, Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.